Thank you, Brother Junior. Good morning. Welcome to Sunday School. Take your Bible, please turn to Proverbs 31. We'll now be concluding our series here in the book of Proverbs, but also the second part of Proverbs 31 here, the virtuous woman. As I mentioned before, there's not much in the Bible that speaks directly to the woman. Now granted, the Bible in general speaks to mankind. And so whether you're a man or a woman, I read the Bible through the eyes of a man, and so I understand it that way. And if you're a woman, you read it through the eyes of a woman. So when it's speaking to man in general, you make those applications. But then there's particular spots that speaks directly to the gender. And here in Proverbs 31, we were looking at the virtuous woman. So it's speaking directly to the woman. So this morning, we're going to be speaking directly to the woman, but also in contrast, the men can gain understanding too. And so the Bible's just good for all, amen? Yes, amen? And so I hope that you enjoy your Bible and studying the Bible. If you weren't here last week, we started with Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman. We talked a little bit about her, about the kind. This is the kind of woman that every wife should strive to be for. Every Christian wife. Right. The wife out in the world, she's not going to desire this type of lifestyle. She's not going to desire these character traits found in her or the husband that's mentioned. This is the kind of woman that every mother should want their son to marry. Amen. It's an example, and it's something to strive for, and it may be an ideal that's very high and lifted up, and that's where our standards and our ideals should be. They should be higher than we can reach in the power of our flesh. That's why we need the Spirit of God to help us and enable us to live that kind of lifestyle that is greater than 90% of the population is trying to live. It's God's ideal for us, amen? And so, ladies, this woman, she truly is a rare find. The Bible says there in verse 10, Proverbs 31:10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. She's very rare, likened unto a ruby. And we liked that last week about how that ruby is something that is pulled out of the ground, and it doesn't look like anything beautiful at first, but in the eyes of the jeweler, he sees something beyond just that mound of dirt, amen, that rock, because when he puts it to the wheel and when he starts cutting upon it and polishing it, it begins to look beautiful, amen. And we talked about how your true beauty is only found in allowing the jeweler to make you beautiful, amen. The world can tell you how to be beautiful, but for the most part, that's only on the outside, and that's appealing to the baser lusts of men as men as they look towards a woman, amen? The real beauty's inside. Yes. And then he takes that rock, which was once just absolutely worthless, and he makes it of great value, and he puts it in a setting, and he puts it in a place, and those C's we talked about, the cut, the clarity, there's one more, the color. It makes it shine, amen? And you can really shine in the setting and in the place that God has you. And, you know, you may look at that, some women wear multiple rings. You know, maybe one ring is jealous of another ring, and they're like, man, I want to be in that setting over there. That's a pretty setting. But that's not where God put that stone. God put that stone right there. And God's put you right where you're at. Okay? And so, if you don't like it, why don't you like it? Is it because of your circumstances or your situation? Is the providential hand of God leading and guiding you in your life? Is he Lord of your life? Because he knows where you're at, and he knows what's going on. And so, why not just try to rather make the best out of the situations and circumstances by learning to submit our will over to the Father's? Because then we can have Great peace have they which love thy law, the Bible says. This is a woman that has let God mold her. The virtuous woman is a spiritually mature woman, not only rare, but valuable. The Bible says there that her price is far above rubies, verse 10. We see her virtues demonstrated in verses 11 and following. We read last week, but let's go ahead and read again. Excuse me. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships, that she bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. Yes. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Yes. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Amen? So there's a lot of action that takes place in these 20 verses or so. You see just all of the verbs of seeking, working, bringing, rising, considering, planting, girding, strengthening, perceiving. It's just, there's so much stretching, covering. It's very, a lot of action, very a lot of busyness, not out in the world, not in the things that don't pertain to her, but to the things that pertain to her household, to her husband, to her children. Virtue, remember, is to be morally good. It's abstaining from vice. It's to be chaste. It's to be upright, pure. And we mentioned last week that just because you're a Christian woman does not make you a virtuous woman.
That's right.
This is something that needs to be worked on. So let's look, turn back there. Let's look at verse 11. We can learn a lot about her when we look at him, her husband. Because, again, the contrasts we need not neglect, but we can look at that also. The Bible says here that the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. So when we see his confidence in her, when it comes to one of the fundamental foundations in the marriage is trust. He does not just trust her. The Bible says, what does it say there? The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. The very core of who he is, his emotions, his will, his everything, he trusts this woman. Safely trusts in her. He can find refuge in her love and in her being because he trusts her. He can hide in that love. He puts full confidence in her from the heart. And what's interesting when we look at that, it's basically just like when we believe in salvation. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, the Bible says. And with the mouth, we safely trust in what our Savior can do for us. We safely trust in his promises. We safely trust in that love. And the husband can safely trust in her. And what great peace that can bring a man, amen? What great peace it can bring a husband. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. But sadly, today, this cannot be said of most husbands. They cannot trust their wives. But true, I understand that it works both ways. Most wives can't trust their husbands. But again, we're focusing now upon the woman. We talked a little bit a few weeks back about the man. You see, there is no fear of God, and therefore there is no faithfulness. And if ever there's been a time when this is an issue, it's today. We live in this society, and we spoke a little bit about this a few lessons back. It's just a sin-sick, sex-soaked, morally corrupt society where everywhere you turn, you're seeing this idea of what a man is to be like, what a woman is to be like, which is not what God would want a man or a woman to be like, to dress like, to think like, to act like. And so we are humans created in the image of God, but what's happening is that they're forsaking God and they don't have the fear of God and they're turning into brute beasts, feeding on the baser lusts of the flesh and having eyes full of adultery, as the Bible says, that cannot cease from sin. And it's everywhere. And not only that, it's accessible now more than ever before because of this, which is carried around just about in everybody's pocket. And with social networking sites, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Telegram, I don't know them all, MySpace, whatever they are. Maybe some of those are old, maybe some are new, maybe some use them, maybe some don't. But what does that do? Well, it gives you access to a lot of people. Lots of people. Good and bad people. You also have access to your past. Maybe an old high school sweetheart or an old fling or an old friend. And not all of us were saved back then, were we? And now people are trying to contact us, or we're contacting them through a friend request. You know, there's some things that are in the past that need to stay in the past. Amen?
Amen.
And so they don't need to friend request me, and I don't need to friend request them. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I didn't get saved till later in life. And I lived a very wicked life before then, and I knew a lot of people. And that's one of the reasons I don't have social media. Because a lot of those people, when I was being contacted or prompted to, do you know this person? What does that do? That gets you thinking.
Right.
And that gets you thinking about the past or thinking about other things that I don't want to think about now.
Yeah.
That I don't want in my life.
Right.
Because I'm a husband that safely trusts in his wife, and I want a wife that can safely trust in her husband. My spouse does not need to be talking to another man, amen, in my house, and vice versa. I don't need to be talking to another woman in our home. So, ladies, are you giving your husband a reason to cause him to doubt or be concerned in any way, or vice versa, men? Again, it's hard to preach just one-sided because, yes, I understand it works both ways, okay? But we are trying to talk about the virtuous woman, but I will throw the men in there too. Listen, the Bible says that here in this passage, she's trusted at home. And that's the first place that we should be trusted, amen? So if there's devices in our home, whether it's a phone or whether it's a computer, whether it's a TV, whether it's a tablet, can you see the stuff on watches now? It's like they'll put it anywhere they can. Let's remove any of that would cause doubts, okay? Hey, listen, you may have the most sincere heart and desires, but maybe that other person doesn't. Ladies, men, So we know she's trusted at the home, but what about on the job? You know, many women work. Many women have to work. Do we trust our spouses at the workplace? We know that many men have to go out and work. Women, can you trust your husbands at the workplace? You see, there's a fine line between being friendly and just trying to be open and flirting with the opposite sex. And as I mentioned, you may have very sincere intentions, but the opposite sex might not. You don't know what that individual, whether man or woman, is going through and what they're after. So that's good idea to just limit the idle talk, amen? Because idle talk is where it starts. You see, your conduct at home and on the job, whether alone, whether abroad, should give no reason to not safely trust. We want to safely trust one another. And what a blessed refuge we can have in each other. And so here in verse 11, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. What does that mean? That means he wants not. He lacks not. You see, to spoil something was to take one's goods or to plunder, especially used in like military terms. But he doesn't have any need of that spoil. He doesn't feel the need that he has to go out to get something physically, to get something materially. I said that wrong. The physical, the material, he doesn't have need of that spoil. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians 7. You see, marriage is honorable in all, the Bible says, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and idolaters God will judge. And there is an aspect in marriage for the preservation to temptation. Okay? It's the conjugal aspect of marriage. Or as Paul calls it, due benevolence. 1 Corinthians 7, verses 1 and following. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. Okay, it's mutual, it works both ways. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other. Now listen, we understand what he's talking about, right? We don't need to go in great detail here. Except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. Okay? Defraud means to keep back. There is this aspect in marriage where we do not keep back something because Satan knows the temperament of men and women. And he will try to drive a wedge in whatever area he can to get an advantage, the Bible says. When you are defrauding, you are leading to the other for maybe a time, impure thoughts, possibly impure actions. You see, in the marriage bed and bond, there should be no reason for want. There should be contentment, amen? Defraud not. Why? Because Satan. Satan's going to tempt you for your incontinency. And we already saw how easily accessible everything is in our society. So let's be faithful one to another. Amen? So physically, what about materially? It says he will have no need for spoil. He does not have to go out and secure more because the management of the wife. He trusts the management of his wife. She is not a financial liability. She knows how to live within their means. Amen? And what a blessing that is. She's not a high maintenance girl. She doesn't need the latest fashion. She doesn't need the latest bling. She does not make him feel that he needs to go get a second job or work more to meet her needs.
Right.
She's content. And that makes him content. It's not, no shopping sprees, amen? And it's okay, maybe once in a blue moon. No incurring credit card debt here. She's frugal. She's thrifty. She's satisfied. She doesn't have to have the finer things. We can buy the off-brand cereal, amen? We can shop sometimes. Well, we shop quite a bit at the thrift store. Because why buy the same shirt and pay $10, $15 more when you can get it for $2, amen? It's not because he's cheap. It's because she's content.
Yes.
Because you know what? If you want more, your husband will work his hardest to get you more. But that will create a strain in the marriage bond.
Yes.
And so, if you can, let's learn to be content with such things as we have, the Bible teaches us. Her conduct proves it. That she's content, both with her lips and her life. And he knows that his house is managed well. She does not use mean or hurtful words. The Bible says that in verse 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life.
Right.
It's a great marriage, amen? It's a great household. It's a great way to raise a family when children can see this in mother and father and not bickering and fighting and other men or women involved in their lives and things seen on computers or TVs or phones or extra long working hours to try to please the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, that they're okay to live within the means that God has blessed them with at this particular time in their life. Sometimes there's more, amen? Sometimes there's less, right? I mean, you've all been through those,
yes,
those waves. It ebbs and it flows. She does not complain or fret, and she does not compare, because that hurts. And yes, men, it works the same way with us too. Concerning her lot in life, she makes him feel like she's the richest woman in the world, amen, that she did make the right choice when she said, I do, amen. Because you know what? After 5, 10, 15, 20, now I haven't gotten that far, but some of you have, 25, 30, 35, you might stop and think, oh man, maybe did she make the right choice? Have I really been the best husband to her? And maybe, ladies, you might think the same way. Turn to Proverbs 15. Well, see, if we learn to just submit ourselves to the Word of God, we won't even have those kind of thoughts. Because we're safely trusting in one another. We're submitting ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the more we're loving Him, the greater we're loving each other. And things are just working out, amen. Yes, we all have trials and temptations and troubles, and in this life you'll face persecution, but praise the Lord, I get to go through it with my wife, amen. Proverbs 15 and verse 17. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. I mean, you can have a lot, but if there's not love and mutual compassion in the home and satisfaction, there's hatred there. And so, you know what? Let's just sit down and eat our soup, beans, and cornbread because it's going to sad, because we got love, amen? Yeah. And you know what? If there is steak on the table, praise God. But if it's a bowl of rice, then you know what? Hey, let's just eat and be merry and give thanks to God for what he's done for us. You said I do. I said I do. So in sickness and in health, you know, in richness and poorness, in better or worse. So whatever area it is right now, you're stuck with me, amen. That's why, listen, don't throw that word around when tensions are hot.
Right.
Don't use that word, divorce. It has no place in the marriage. It has no place. That's just not even an option, amen? Let's not throw it around. Let's not try to threaten our spouse with what we're going to do. No. Let's go to Proverbs 18, verse 22. Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18 and verse 22, the Bible says, "Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord." Wow, amen. If you have a good wife, you've obtained favor of the Lord in spite of your sinfulness, in spite of your rebellion at times, in spite of who you are. You've been blessed of the Lord, and I've been blessed of the Lord, amen. I've obtained favor. Proverbs 12, turn there, in verse 4. Proverbs 12, verse 4. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. He is, you know, when somebody puts a crown on your head, man, you feel good, don't you? You're proud of that crown. The virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Some find a crown, others find rottenness. You see, the thing about this woman too, the Bible says there in our text in Proverbs 31, it says in there in verse 12, she will do him good. She will. She is actively seeking how she can do good to her husband. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Turn to Proverbs 21. It's to deal out, not dish out, amen. Proverbs 21. See, we can learn a lot just through this. I mean, granted, there's a list of probably, 10 verses of things that she's doing for the household. But when we just see the relationship between her and her husband, we learn a lot about them. Proverbs 21 and verse 19. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. You see, she's actively seeking to please her husband. She pleases him. He praises her. Her life, her deeds are a constant blessing to her husband. Her thoughtfulness, her attention, her care, her respect, her love for him. She's a virtuous woman. She's an exemplary wife. And it's seen in her actions. She is good to him. She is exercising the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. First and foremost, amen. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Turn to 1 Corinthians 7. We were there earlier. We looked at the first couple verses there. You know, in marriage, sometimes, you know, we have to look a little beyond the quirks, the personality, the faults, the failures of the other, because we're in this for the long run. We're in this together. And yes, the husband will fail his wife and the wife will fail the husband, but God won't fail us, amen? And we've made a vow to God, and that vow binds us all together, and the threefold cord, the Bible says, is not easily broken. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 34. The Bible says, there's difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. Now understand, that's not saying that the married woman does not do this. Watch the contrast that he's going to make. But she that is married careth for the things of the world. Not worldly speaking, but the idea of how she may please her husband. That is her main focus. That is her number one desire. Yes, the married woman, the virtuous woman, still wants to please her Lord. She wants to be holy. She wants to be good and right, yes. But her focus now is leave, cleave, and weave, amen, with her husband. They are now one flesh. They are united, the Bible says. And that is her desire, how she may please her husband all the days of her life, amen. Even after he's dead, she speaks in such a way as to not damage his testimony in his name. What a helpmeet, amen. What a woman, a virtuous woman. And look at what the Bible says. Go back there in Proverbs 31. All the way towards the end. Verse 29, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. She's a woman that's praised, amen. Amen. Let her own works praise her. Everything about her, the way she interacts with her husband, the way she manages her home, the way she provides and prepares and works with her children, the way she handles herself out in the community, the way she handles herself if she has to be on the job, the way she handles herself when she's away. People will look and notice that there's something different about that woman. Not only that, maybe she's a Christian woman, but she's a virtuous woman. Amen. Is that your desire, ladies? I mean, every man should want a woman like this. Every Christian man. And so, for us to attract a woman, men, for us to attract a woman like that, now granted, for most part, all of us are men that are here right now, are married men, or we've had a wife, we need to become that type of man that woman would be attracted to, amen? Because she's got her sights set higher and her standards are set higher. And so let's be that type of man so we can have this kind of woman. And if you have this kind of woman, praise the Lord, amen? You've obtained favor of the Lord. Be good to her, treat her right, praise her. She's a rare find. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the virtuous woman. Thank you for the wives that you have given us. I pray, Father, that, Lord, we could have just a picture of heaven on earth in our marriage, a picture, a great picture of the church, the mystery here, the bride, and the great love and submission that is found in a marriage that is unified under your headship. Lord, I pray that you would forgive us, forgive the men, forgive the women, the husbands and wives, for where we fall short of this great picture, for where we have acted foolishly, for where we have done wrong. Lord, I pray that it would be a marriage of blessing and praise, peace and contentment, satisfaction all the days of our life. Help us, Lord, as we look to you. And this I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.